Not 16. I think it said, does it say 6 on the notice sheet? It is not Isaiah chapter 6. It's Isaiah 26 that you need to go to. Thank you, John. That gives me great confidence in the ministry of the word. Another time. Pray the Lord will bless his word to us, even if it isn't from chapter 6. We've got something good here. In the day of this song will be sung in the land of Judah. This is Isaiah 26. Have you all got it? Are you there? I don't want to rush in too quick. Okay. Isaiah 26. This song will be sung. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous kingdom may enter, the nation that keeps faith. And these are the words we're going to focus in on tonight. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down. The feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my soul longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Well, leave it there. That's far enough for where we're going tonight. Just some wonderful things in there. Don't you not find it a challenge? We read a prayer like that in verse 9. My soul yearns for you in the night. Words so easy to read, aren't they? You know, and I can't help but ask myself the question. How much of a yearning do I have? How much of a yearning do we have for the Lord? In the morning, my soul longs for you. When we get up, what's the first thing in the morning? You know, when we wake up and we look out, or even before we get out, do we find, Lord, how can I get through today if it's not for you? Do we yearn for the Lord? Do we long for him? That's not my sermon tonight, but it is a challenge to us, isn't it? You know, in these days, that longing for the Lord, the verses that we're going to look at, you will keep his mind in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. It's another verse, I've got to confess, that's been in my mind for a few months now to minister. We've been going through two long series. One in Acts, one in Ephesians. The Ephesians morning, Acts in the evening. So what I do is as I'm going through there, as the Lord puts things into my mind, I just jot them down. I think when we get out of the series, we'll have a look at these verses. And I'm grateful to God for the timing of some of these verses that we've had the last three or four Sundays. Just a number of people. I pray that will be the case tonight, that this is just the right word for some of us here, either for ourselves or... Of course, part of the point of us coming to church is so that we've got food and encouragement to take out to others, isn't it? You know, sometimes we think, well, it's not for me. But I know somebody who is. Always be careful of thinking, oh, it's just the right word for them. You know what I mean. But I want to feed you so that you can feed others. And maybe this is a word that if it's not necessarily right for you, you don't need it in this sense tonight, then... Well, you will in the future probably, but take it out and share it with somebody else. It kind of feels to me it's that time of year when a lot of us kind of think it'd be nice to get away for a few days, you know, get away from the worries and the anxieties and the stresses of life, even if it is only for a little while. And that's the trouble, isn't it? If we do manage to get away from, you know, the everyday stuff of life, we know we've actually got to go back to reality. However long it is that we go, we're all old enough tonight. You know, Naomi and Stuart, I'm lifting you up here. You know, we're all old enough to know tonight that peace is not simply the absence of external forces. The real peace, the valuable peace, is what's inside us, isn't it? You know, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you." But the peace he gives is an internal peace. So it's not just an absence of strife and conflict. Real peace is an inside thing that God gives to us regardless of the circumstances that we're in. We can be in the most difficult, fraught situations, but still know his peace. That's what we're talking about. That's what he's talking about here. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Let me just give you a quick word of context here, because it will help to make sense of the whole thing. Isaiah was prophesying at a time when the people of Israel were under severe threat from the all-conquering Assyrian Empire. The world superpower of Assyria were bearing down upon them. No one had been able to stop them. They just demolished every nation, every people group in their way. And they're on the borders of Israel, and they were fearing, as a nation, they were about to be overrun. They were going to be destroyed. They would probably be taken captive and deported. As it happens, that is indeed what happened, but that's another story, and we could find out when. For us, rarely in our lifetime, some of you can remember it, but for most of us, we're not worried about a physical army, but we can look at our lives and we see things on the horizon of our lives that seem like this kind of invincible army. How are we going to cope with this situation? It could be health, it could be finance, it can be jobs, it can be anything that threatens to overwhelm. You know, and I'm just so mindful at the moment of a number of us connected with our family here. You know, our older people being overrun by the onset of old age. You know, we joke about it, don't we? But when I see some of our older people and their minds start to go and their memories go and they start to descend, you know, and it's horrible for them, and this thing that's coming. Well, what we've got here in the face of this is this brilliant promise, this reassurance that God will keep in perfect peace the person whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. It's a wonderful promise in the midst of those uncertainties. Firstly, notice what it actually is. You will keep in perfect peace. You will keep, God will keep in perfect peace. There are two little things there. First of all, don't miss the word keep. You will keep him in perfect peace. The word keep means to guard. It means you will protect him. God will protect. He will. It was a military word in those days. It was used of the armies that would encircle a group of people. They would sort of camp around a group of people or a city to protect them, to keep them safe, to make sure that the enemy was kept at bay and wasn't going to be able to get at the inhabitants of the city. And the promise here is that God will do that for us, that he will guard, he will stop the enemy getting to our souls. He will stop the enemy, whatever the enemy is, whether it's, you know, those other things, whether it might be Satan himself. But he promises that he will stop that enemy getting to us. The second thing is, so he will keep you, he will guard you in perfect peace. That's his desire for us. That's God's desire for you. He wants you to have that peace. That's why he saved you. It's always been, and it always will be, you know, in down here and ultimately when we get to be with him. It is his desire for us to have peace. Psalm 29, verse 11 says, "The Lord gives peace to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." And the phrase here, in perfect peace, it's literally, he will keep him in shalom, shalom. Some of you know the word shalom. It's a sense of wholeness. And the word is repeated. It's shalom, shalom. Literally, he will keep him in peace, peace. And because they didn't have a mechanism of kind of emphasis, so what they did, they would repeat a word. So they would say the word twice for emphasis. So peace, peace was really good peace. Hence, it's translated perfect peace. Remember Jesus, he used to do the same thing. We got it in the New Testament. You know, verily, verily, I say unto you, or in the that's authorized, isn't it? New International. What's the New International version of that? Truly, truly. Yeah. Truly, truly. When you hear that, it means it's a point of emphasis. He's trying to make a point there. So peace, peace is extra special. Wholeness, perfect unity, completeness. And only God can give that level, that sort of peace. The Apostle Paul, when he was praying for the Christians in Thessalonica, said, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." That's kind of what it's about. At all times and in every way. That's great, isn't it? That's really what we want. All times, in every way. Some of you would love to have that right at the moment. And this is his promise. This is what he says. He will give to us. You will keep in perfect peace. So how do we know it? How can that be our experience? Who will he keep in perfect peace? Him whose mind is steadfast. It's very specific. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. There is no limits to it. Anybody can experience it, but there is that qualification to it. There is this condition. The condition is we will have his peace, peace, whilst our minds are fixed on God. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. The word steadfast means fixed on. So, what do we need to do to have this peace, peace that God offers? Well, two or three things here. The first one is we need to think more about God than our problems. That's what it means to fix our minds, to have our hearts steadfast, our minds steadfast on God. And our minds, it's about thinking, isn't it? Is it Romans chapter 12? Says that he will renew us by, we will be changed by the renewing of our minds. You know, we Christians, you know, I love it when God stirs our emotions by the Holy Spirit. I think that's a wonderful thing. I love it. But we're transformed most when, not just when he touches our emotions, because we can have a, you know, we can have a great evening here. We can go outside and something, you know, kind of gets us, or even before we get outside, can't we? And it's gone. Our emotions, and you know, bless God for emotions. They're wonderful things when they work right. Terrible things when they don't, aren't they? But that's the point. It's not that we've got to have our emotions touched, but our minds fixed. Our Christian faith is a mind thing. It's why we do this. You know, we've got to think of it. We've got to have our minds changed, and our minds need to be fixed on Him. So we need to think more about God than our problems. The trouble with worry is that all the time we're worrying, we're not focusing on him. Some years ago, a university professor in America did some research on the things that people worry about. And he sort of deciphered everything and distilled it down. And he found that 40% of what people worry about never happens. And 30% are about the past that we can't do anything about. So you put those two, that's 70% of the things that we worry about. The way to enjoy God's peace, peace, is to set our minds on Him, not on the things that will probably never happen or the things that have happened that we can do nothing about. It's to focus our minds on Him. It's about deliberately choosing to look at Him, to concentrate on Him, to think about Him. It is a deliberate act. That's what it means. Steadfast means to lean upon, to depend upon, to take hold of, to fix attention on. The more we look at him then, he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. The promise is that he will keep us in his peace, this perfect peace, whilst our attention is fixed on, whilst we lean on him. The key to it is living God-focused lives. We're not saying that's easy, but that's the key to it. I thought this week, when I was kind of musing over this, that the believers that I know, that I most admire, those who I look at and just seem to exude that level of peace, they've got one thing in common. They're those whose minds are fixed on God. And I bet that's true for you as well. Those that you most respect, those who you most think, I'd love to be like that. I bet they're the ones that think most about God and have their minds fixed on him. Well, if that's what they do, then that's what we've got to do. You know, the thing of wisdom is applying what you know, isn't it? And if we know that's the effect on them, then wisdom would say that's what we need to do for ourselves. Jill Briscoe, some of you will have heard of Jill Briscoe. Her husband was Stuart Briscoe, wrote lots of books, pastor for many, many years. She said, we can worry or we can worship. That puts it quite starkly. We can worry or we can worship. She's really saying you can't do both at once, because when you worship, we focus on God. That's why church is so important, because it does help us to refocus on him. And that's why reading our Bibles, why taking time to worship, you know, is so important, because it will take our minds to him rather than the things going on around us. Jesus spoke of the consequences of worry and anxiety on a number of occasions. I'll give you just a couple. Luke chapter 21, he says, be careful, he says, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and this was the key bit, the anxieties of life. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with the anxieties of life. Be careful, because it will get to you. Some of us are more prone to worry and anxiety than others, I know. And Jesus recognized that. He said, just be careful. Worry will weigh you down. On another occasion, he used a more dramatic picture. He said, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. Do you know how that goes on with the thorns? What happens with the seed among the thorny ground? Yeah. He said, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. In other words, stress will strangle you, he says. Worry will strangle the spiritual life out of you if you're looking at those things rather than him. That's in Matthew chapter 13. So, the first thing we need to do is to fix our minds, to be steadfast, to lean on the Lord. It's an exercise of our mind. We've got to fix our minds on him, lean on him. If you're going through trouble, if you're going through one of these times, you know, and you're thinking, yeah, I'd love this at the moment. God's word, his instruction, his encouragement, his call to you says, come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Do things my way. My yoke is light, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The key is to go to Jesus and leave it with him. The second thing is to trust in God. It says, he will keep in perfect peace. He will keep in peace, him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Because he trusts in you. So we've got to trust in God. We've got to fix our minds on him, but then we've got to trust him. We've got to do it. You know, we were saved by faith, weren't we? How did we get our sins forgiven? We got our sins were forgiven when we trusted in Jesus, when we simply depended on him and nothing else. God saw Abraham's faith and he credited it to him as righteousness. How did we get saved? What, God saw your faith and he credited it to you as righteousness. It's by faith we're saved. in Jesus. So we've got to trust him physically, mentally, emotionally, mindfully. It's having that sense of anticipation, the confidence that he is who he says he is, that he will help us, that he will keep us from harm. Just trusting him. He said this, so I'm going to believe it. The key to enabling us to do that, I think, is thinking about who it is that we're trusting. You'd agree with me? It's who is it that our mind is on? So just a little exercise for us this evening. We'll do this together. It's not hard. What do we know about God that makes him worthwhile trusting? Okay, just think about that for a moment. What is it about your God that makes him worthwhile trusting? Give you a few seconds to think about it. And then I want you to tell me what's in your mind. What is it about God that tells you you can rely on him and that he'll come good? Okay, you probably all had different things. Let's see, what is it about God? Tell me about God. Let's do this together. Who's going to go first? Robin. He knows and he controls the future. Good. And he can heal the sick. Yeah, he's able to do. Brilliant. He's always loving. That is a critical thing to keep in mind. He's always loving. Even when we don't understand it, his nature is love. So when we can't understand it, why is he allowing this? God, if we don't believe that he's love, then we're going to be in Queer Street, aren't we? Nothing's too hard. He can do the impossible. So when we're facing something, he can get us through, help us through, change circumstances, or change us. Keep us going when we don't realize. He's able to do that. We used to sing an old song. Did you used to sing, "He's able, he's able, I know that he is able. I know that he is able to carry us through"? Have you sing that song? Yeah. It's a good song, simple, but John, you were going to say? Unchanging. So, that means that what we see of him in the Bible is what he is today. Now, that's in one sense, it's profound, it's theology, but it's what we see is that power, that love, that grace, that compassion. We see the justice, and what he was in the Bible, he is today. Unchanging. Really important to just always know that, you know, what he was then, he's today. We can depend on that. Good. Anything else? Go when you go home, think about who is your God. What do you know about God? What about his nature? What about his character that calls you, that you can depend upon him? And then we have to, if that's what he's like, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to depend upon him. So we have to think about him. We have to trust him. And we've got to keep on trusting him. That's the third thing. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord, the Lord. You see, and there it is again. It's this repeated thing. The Lord is the rock. So he's not just saying the Lord. He's like, the Lord, the great Lord, the magnificent, the greatest Lord. It's emphatic. The Lord, Lord is the rock eternal. Our help isn't secured as an experience simply by trusting him once and saying, Lord, I'm going to commit it to you. You've got to keep on trusting. It's going to be a day-by-day thing. It's really practical. We're saved by faith. We've got to walk by faith. We've got to live by faith. Habakkuk says the just, the righteous, will live by faith. We need to live by faith. Just as we trusted Jesus to save us at the beginning, we've got to live with that as well. What I'd like to do as we finish is just to watch a media clip, and we'll actually close the service out with this. It's a lady sharing her testimony and then singing a song that came out of her own circumstances with her husband and her, and just a beautiful song. And I pray that this will be a blessing for us this evening as we think, you know, for some of us about our own circumstances or those that we know and love and we can share with them. It's by a lady called Laura Story. I don't know if any of you have heard of her, but I'll let her talk about it, and then she'll sing the song.